Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And let's get straight to it, man. Micah Parsons is going where?
Nowhere.
He's going nowhere.
Nowhere. I know. So, but he requested a trade.
He requested a trade. That is
the breaking news.
Yes.
And I'm...
You're not even phased.
Not phased in the negative sense. I'm not... Obviously... You hear that, and I'm not going to say I'm excited that he requested a trade, but
no, of course.
I think that this is exactly what needed to be done if his goal is to get a contract from Jerry. Like I said in our last episode, I wanted him to, he kind of did exactly what I asked. He didn't do exactly, because
he didn't say
what he wanted and stuff, but
yeah.
He pretty much detailed the entire the negotiation process,
right,
that's been ongoing and why the deal hasn't been done to where. And the crazy thing is, I said in doing that, it would be in a sense that would get all of the fans, because at the time there were still fans saying like, oh, it's a two-way street, Micah needs to do this, Micah needs to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And by coming out and like explaining everything, it would get fans to realize, oh, this is all Jerry's doing.
Yeah,
but the crazy, there are still fans.
Oh, there's yeah, because I was about to say, what's Jerry. How, in what sense, like what are they saying?
Basically, I'm thinking they didn't read what he said, because I don't want to read the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean,
I can give the spark notes of it. He basically said he's been saying he wanted the deal done early.
He was trying to get it done last year.
He was trying to get it done last year. He did say that his agent advised him against that, told him, no, you should wait.
Right.
These other guys get paid, you'll get more money.
Right.
He told his agent, no, I want the deal done now to secure my future with this team.
Right.
So then the agent, he says, so go get the deal done.
Yeah.
He said the agent then reached out to Jerry and Steven.
Yep.
And it was radio silence.
Mm-hmm.
He heard nothing. And now the reports are coming out saying that Jerry and Steven were under the impression that the one-on-one conversation, or not one, like just the in-person conversation,
right,
they were having with Micah throughout the months at training camp, at the Cotton Bowl a few months ago,
right?
Like that those were their contract negotiations.
In which his agent was not present.
Yeah, and that's idiotic.
Yes.
To think that that's how you're going to sign with
that's not how it works.
This is about to be the biggest NFL defensive contract in NFL history, and you think this agent is just gonna let this happen?
Well, shoot, even on a lower scale, in what world does any person like who has an agent, like that needs an agent, in what world do they go into the negotiation room without them present? Like,
yeah,
you don't go in there without your representation.
Literally. And that's just not how it, even, I don't care what y'all talked about. I don't care what Micah said,
he was talking about like the leadership of the team. I think that's what he said in the tweet, notes.
Yeah, it was a lot. And it's just like, man, a gentleman's agreement
is not
a contract.
No.
That's not a bind. That is not how NFL is. That's not how things work.
No.
That's why. So when I see people defending Jerry, and they kind of
Cowboys fans are really like,
it's a small. It is a small minority of Cowboys fans for sure.
Okay.
The grand majority of everybody is, you sell the team, Jerry. What are you doing? Pay Micah. But there is still a small minority who are just kind of ignoring the fact that Micah told his agent, no, go get the deal done. Because they're like, oh, he admitted to his agent saying don't get, but yeah, he told his agent, no, his agent represents him and what he wants.
Right.
Like, yeah, he gives his advice and does this and that, but at the end of the day, it's Micah's decision.
Him.
Yeah, right. It's Micah's decision when that, gets done if he wants it to get done.
Right.
And in terms of paying him, why would Micah pay an agent and then get the deal, the largest contract
without him? That is, no.
I don't know what his commission is, 3%, 4%, 5%. Why would he give him 5% right. of that contract?
Right, exactly.
And do it himself.
Exactly.
I'm with you. I, full disclosure, like when the news broke, Micah requested a trade, I was at work. And I saw it, and I'm not gonna lie, like immediately I kind of started jumping for joy. Like, as an Eagles fan, just like, ah, ha, 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 Dallas is imploding. Then I simmered down, I calmed down. And it probably is just, you know, the ploy of like, all right, man, look, you holding my feet to the fire here.
Mm-hmm.
Get me out of here, get me the deal done, right? And you said it, Micah explained everything very well, very thought out. The man's been trying to get a deal done for over a year now, and he's tired of these backdoor negotiations. And he's like, I don't know why. Like, why are you even talking to me and not talking to my agent? Like, if anything, Micah's agent needs to be there. Micah doesn't need to be there.
Right.
Right. Because if we know things are going to be said in the heat of the moment or whatever, Jerry's going to say, oh, well, I don't even know if he's that good of a player. Right. He might say something crazy like that to his agent or whatever. But it is honestly astonishing that any fans are even on Jerry Jones' side right now. I mean, at this point, I mean, Micah's teammates are literally coming out tweeting, CeeDee Lamb, pay the man. I can't remember, a couple other Cowboys players came out and said, like, pay the man. Like, bro, they know what the deal is, right? Jerry Jones is playing chicken. They're tired of him playing chicken.
Right.
Because this happens every year, it seems like. And I don't know, man. I don't understand it. This is your owner. You know him better than I do. Obviously, you're not fazed by this at all. You think a deal is going to get done.
I think that, I do think a deal is going to get done. And I think that... Because Jerry said in his, even when he even agreed, like, this is a negotiation. Like, he literally said Cowboys fans shouldn't lose sleep over it, says things like that. And I think that I tweeted as soon as I saw that, like, that's exactly how you get Jerry to stop the BS. I'll see you week one. I think that, and I said, that was my initial thoughts. And now I'm sitting here thinking, literally as we're doing this.
Yeah.
Jerry still won. Because we spent episode after episode, it was still going. And I would be like, oh, I'm not talking about it because I know it's
going to. Here we are.
Here we are.
Because it's funny because you say, like, this is going to get Jerry to stop the BS. Is it going to get Jerry to stop the BS?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because whoever's contract is up next year, I don't know who, but you know, like.
That's the thing. I think that. And it feels like he kind of tries to one up himself every year. Like it was Zach Martin. Even if you go back to Zeke, when Zeke was out, he was training out in Cabo and everything. Right. That whole thing, like he got the deal done a little earlier, and then Zach Martin he held out, and it got done a little later than that.
Right.
And then CD's deal was like a couple weeks before, and then Dak's deal was the day of, and now Micah is requesting a trade. So it's like it's kind of building up until
right.
Coming down the line, we might see somebody finally leave. But
let me ask you something though. Let's go down this rabbit hole real quick. If Micah Parsons were to get traded, what is the haul that you need to get back?
I think the next case scenario is that I think Micah getting traded is the last thing that can possibly happen.
Yes, but
I think before he got traded.
Uh-huh.
He would either be forced to play for the Cowboys, like he's already this year is his last year on his rookie deal anyway, right. And then he can be franchise tagged multiple times,
right?
If he's that, which I would understand,
that adamant about leaving,
he would just not play in the NFL for the next few years.
Yeah. But, oh, that's what you think?
Because I thought it's either he would have to play for the Cowboys, but he's not going to play.
Because
I don't think Jerry's going to trade him.
Fair.
Because because like you said, what would the get back be?
What would you need to get back in order to say
there need to be a team with multiple first round picks.
What's the number?
And they'd have to be
the next year's draft?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is impossible. I don't know how you'd even do that.
I can't think of the teams that have multiple first rounders off the top of my head.
And it would have to be, one of the picks would have to be a top 10 pick, at the worst.
I saw, who did I see?
And it would be, they wouldn't even be just this year. Like,
right, no,
it would be a ridiculous ass.
It would have to be like a Ricky Williams type of trade.
Yeah.
Who did I see? I saw, because, you know, I mean, he's from Philly, so there are, I'm not buying any stock that Michael Parsons is coming to Philly. I'm not going for that. What did I see? I saw, what team did they say? Oh, Atlanta. I saw that they said Atlanta, and I was like, I don't know if Atlanta has the capital to pull off a move like that. And I don't think that makes sense for Atlanta. I haven't really seen, you know, and it's probably because like a lot of people probably realize, like, or they believe at least, like, this is a fluff. Like, Micah's not going anywhere. He just wants to get his deal done.
Right.
So they're probably not like reaching out to teams or like really buying any stock into the fact that like he requested a trade. So, because I haven't seen that many reports out about like teams. I
mean, when Miles Garrett requested a trade, what were the right options? That were the target. I requested a trade. I didn't even see.
It was us. It was, man, who else was in the market for Miles? I can't remember. It was a handful of teams. I know we were on that list because he spoke about us. We were on that list. There was a couple other teams. I can't remember off the top of my head, but like, yeah, even when Miles gets, it's crazy because like Micah, it seems like this is Miles 2.0.
Right.
Right. Cause, and I thought, for what it's worth, I thought Miles Garrett was seriously done because, like, I mean, he's been in Cleveland his whole career. He's been the best defensive player, and it has literally meant nothing. Right. So I thought, okay, like, no, maybe he fully realizes I can't win here in Cleveland. But no, we found out that was all a fluff.
He realizes that he can't win there. He just doesn't care.
Yeah. Well, it was a fluff, right? Like, I don't think he was ever.
I mean, because he could have gotten paid anywhere. As much as Cleveland, but like,
yeah,
he would have gotten whatever amount of money he wanted within reason anywhere else. So, yeah, I mean, Micah, yeah. I mean, I think I'm with you now, right? I mean, unless something drastically changes, like, do you think, because like I saw the video where Michael was like, he's not practicing anymore and he's on the sideline and he's like 10, they literally say he's 10 yards apart from Stephen Jones. Okay. I didn't know that, but yeah, there was did you see the clip? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. They were on the field at the same time.
And him and Stephen were like, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that means anything. I don't know. I guess, do you really feel like the relationship between Micah and the Joneses is fractured, or like, do you think?
No.
Okay.
I think that
it's just a sticky situation.
It's a business relationship.
Yeah.
And like, first and foremost. So I think they're just kind of, the players themselves are just kind of realizing this just is how they do business, and to not take it as personal. Like, that's how I feel like CD and Dak kind of feel like after everything is done. I feel like they just kind of brush it off as like, man, they're not serious.
Yeah,
like, right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of how they do things. Which, so
it also, like, I guess if you're anybody that works for the Cowboys that is not a member of the Jones family, like, you got to ask yourself, like, why do we keep operating like this? Like, you're gonna scare off the top free agents. Like, no one's gonna want to come here and deal with, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that might be one. We never get top free agents, so
I just don't understand. Like, how has nobody ever told Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, like, man, listen, the way y'all do business, it is detrimental to your team.
At the very least, not even just from like a media aspect, like, because now people are like laughing at us. Like, we lose out money this way.
Yeah,
if we sign Micah last year when he wants to. It's the contract is less. Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Dak. You probably say like 30 mil.
He was eligible for a 34 million. This was before the 40.
Yeah.
But it would have been 34 instead of 40. That's mm-hmm. 6 million. This 60 million would have been 45, 50.
Come maybe. On, man. Like, I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't understand. It's like, is Jerry stuck in the 90s? Like, I don't know.
I don't know what it is. Like, in his head, any publicity is good publicity as long as they're talking.
That's
like,
cool.
As long as the Cowboys are the headlines. Oh my God,
Michael right. Parsons. We're serving Jerry Jones right now. I've been doing this.
He's winning. So
it's a shame, man. I mean, all I can do is laugh at it as an Eagles fan, but like, my God, this would drive me insane if my owner operated like this. Like, it really would. I'm not even gonna lie. So like, I respect how calm and cool you. I mean, because you're used to it, but like. I mean, those Cowboys fans who are still riding with him, they're just they're delusional at this point,
right?
Right? Because like they don't know who else to be mad at, and they don't want to be mad at Jerry, but like, it is Jerry's fault.
It's just more so like just a small like annoyance, because at the end of the day, the deals do get done,
right?
And so like, It's just annoying that you waited to sign Dak. It's annoying that we had to go, CD had to train right. all season away from the team and right. then came, started the season off rusty.
Right.
It's like those things directly affect. Yeah, they're award one. They're directly affecting the team in a negative way when it comes to winning.
You know, it's like we're talking about Michael Parsons requesting a trade when it's the beginning of training camp right now.
It's like as a GM, nothing you do in term outside of like obviously the players you sign, but like there should be nothing you're doing that's affecting winning that directly. Like your hand should not be that involved. A player. Like starting the first four or five games, like creating chemistry and getting into a groove that should have been done at training camp. Mm-hmm. That's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's crazy to think about like that. But I mean, yeah,
that's your owner, man. That's your owner. Well, let's stay in the NFC East division. Obviously let's go out to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Terry McLaurin has officially requested a trade. And Terry McLaurin, I applaud you, sir. I applaud you. If they don't want to pay you, they want to play chicken with you, brother, go right ahead. I saw the metric. DK Metcalf is making $35 million a year now. Do you know how much Terry McLaurin is making?
Less than 20.
He's making 19.5. Terry McLaurin had a career year. Like he had 13 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
DK had like, I think, 6. And I... His own teammate, newly acquired Deebo Samuel, got a contract extension, and now he's making more than Terry.
Right.
In no world should Deebo Samuel be making more than Terry McLaurin.
No.
In no world.
No, not on any team. Definitely not on the same team.
No. So, hey, man. And you know what I will say? Shout out to Dan Quinn. I don't know if you saw, but I saw his... Because they, you know, I think they're doing like Bleacher Report, like basically sit-in interviews at Washington training camp. And, you know, they're talking to Dan Quinn. They're talking to Jay. They're talking about all the players, right, basically. Mm-hmm. And they're talking to Dan Quinn about the Terry McLaurin situation. And shout out to Dan Quinn because he, you know, he responded like, no, like, I get it. You know, obviously we want Terry here. But, like, I get it. Like, he has to take care of his family and
right.
all this. He has to do what he has to do. He's like, at the end of the day, like, we got to come out here and we got to handle business. And, you know, we wanted him here. But I understand it. Like, I respect him as a head coach for coming out and saying that because,
right.
I mean, man, look. Terry McLaurin, he deserves to get paid every dollar he wants.
Facts.
And
because he had a career year and the team had their best year last year in a while. He's been the only good component of the team.
Come on, man.
He got there.
Come on.
And that's coming from two direct rivals.
Yes. Like, Terry McLaurin is him. I don't care what anybody says. Terry McLaurin is a very, very underrated, very solid number one wide receiver. And he's been doing it ever since he got to the league, man. 8 years in now. He's 29 years old. Like, real talk, if I'm Terry McLaurin, I'm trying to get to Buffalo.
That would make sense.
I'm trying to get to Buffalo. I'm trying to get to... maybe a Pittsburgh because they need a wide receiver too. But if Terry goes to Pittsburgh, DK is wide receiver two to me. But who else am I thinking about that needed wide receiver help? Buffalo, Pittsburgh. Who else? Who else needs wide receiver help?
Baltimore.
You know what? I would have said maybe, but then they brought in DeAndre Hopkins.
He's so old now.
I'm sure they're viewing him because, you know, Rashad Bateman finally had a breakout year. They're probably viewing DeAndre as like that 1B. So man, I would have been with you before, but yeah.
There was another team I was thinking about. My friend Christian, he's a Giants fan, and he was talking about, oh, like, we can go get to. I was like, okay, I don't think that ever happened because I don't think the Commanders would trade to the Giants. I mean, we've seen interrival divisional trades before, but I don't think that'll happen. And even I just threw this out. I said, okay, if I'm Washington, let me get at least a first, a second, and let me get Kayvon Thibodeau.
Right now, who would you say is better, Malik Nabers or
Terry McLaurin?
Yeah.
I think Malik Nabers' ceiling is higher. I mean, he's younger, right? But, I mean, you give him Terry McLaurin on the other side?
Well, yeah.
But that's not – he's not going to the Giants. That's not happening. That's not happening. But, yeah, no, if I'm Terry McLaurin, I mean, I'm trying to get to New York. I'm trying to get to Buffalo. We saw what Josh Allen did with Stephon Diggs.
Right.
And we saw last year, that's all he was really missing was a number one wide receiver. His best receiver was Khalil Shakir. No disrespect, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's not. Terry McLaurin.
No. Yeah. So if I'm Josh Allen, I'm telling Brandon Bean, my GM, go get Terry.
Definitely.
God, give up 2 first rounders and whatever else. Go get Terry.
I do think it is like a similar situation to Mike. I think he will get paid.
Do you?
I don't think. Yeah, I don't see him.
I just don't understand. Like,
I think the Commanders are in a position where they need to. They like I forgot what team we were talking about, but it's like who? Because this is, I can't remember, but we were talking about a team who like, oh, the Mavericks.
Yeah.
They go to the finals and go and then trade away their best player.
Yeah.
Why would the Commanders go to the conference finals for the and then trade away their best player?
Well, why are they playing chicken with him? I don't.
That's just
kinda, like, why are y'all playing chicken with him? Why are you trading? Why are you bringing in Deebo Samuel and paying him before you pay me?
I mean, that's, you look around the league. It's not, that was one thing I kind of did want to touch, like the Cowboys right now. I'll pay Micah. I mean, every single, almost not every team, you, there's some teams you, but like a lot of teams have contract disputes and holdouts and like they don't pay their play. It took all offseason for Jamar and T to get paid.
Yeah.
Trey Hendrickson is the.
Well, we knew Jamar was going to get paid. They weren't going to let Jamar leave. Yeah. T Hick was kind of up in the air.
But. Yeah. And we saw Myles Garrett request trade because he didn't get paid. Is it going to happen? It's almost like what comes with this negotiation.
Right. I just, listen, if I'm Terry McLaurin at this point, I understand why he feels disrespected.
Definitely.
And I if I'm him, I'm like, all right, so y'all go ahead and see what you do with Deebo Samuel as your number one wide receiver and send me somewhere that's going to pay me and where I can win. Because, again, Washington, yeah, they had a great season last year. I think they overachieved a little bit. Their defense is older, right? And O-line was kind of shaky, so we'll see. We'll see. They brought in Laremy Tunsil. We'll see. I don't know, man.
That's the thing, because since he's been a Commander,
yes,
they can offer him the most money.
Right.
So if they don't, like, if they're just going to match other offers, then yeah, trade me.
I just don't, yeah, I just, I... I'm serious, man. If I'm Terry McLaurin, like, my list is short, man. Get me to Buffalo. Because, I mean, I don't even know who. Curtis Samuel? That's their second best wide receiver?
Keon Coleman?
No. I'm talking about Washington. Oh, what? With Deebo Samuel, Curtis Samuel? Like, yeah, okay, cool. See what you got. Zach Ertz, Eagles legend, but Zach Ertz, I mean, he's only getting older, so we'll see how that goes.
I don't think the Commanders will be that good this year.
So you think, okay, right. So you, but you think in your mind, Terry McLaurin, a deal gets done with Washington?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. But I'm here for the show. I'm here for the show. I'll sit back, eat my popcorn, watch Jerry continue to play with the Cowboys like they're a piece of Play-Doh. And watch Washington fumble their way out of the number one wide receiver in Terry McLaurin. I'm here for the show. You kind of spoke on it because there's other situations around the league. One situation got resolved. Shamar Stewart signed his contract.
Yep.
He is a member of the Cincinnati Bengals. So that happened. On the other hand, Trey Henderson does not have a contract yet, but he reported to training camp. I did not like that he reported to training camp. I didn't like that Terry McLaurin reported to training camp either. I don't like how he walked back his stance, basically saying that it was selfish.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't want to be a distraction to the team. Dude, like, that's the crazy part. Because these owners and front offices will make it seem like you're the problem.
He has to go along with the
injury. Like, come on, man. Like, that's crazy. I'm literally your best player on your worst side of the ball. I was responsible for at least 45% of our sacks last year. I was an all-pro player. I led the league in sacks. You don't want to pay me, and I'm the problem?
Right.
I feel bad, man. I feel bad for Trey Henderson. I really wish he hadn't reported because, man, once you do that, you have no leverage.
Yeah.
You know, you do that, you have no leverage. I hope he's holding in. I don't know if he's. I think he is holding in. You know that holding in now, where they just show up and they don't participate in anything.
Yeah, that
Mike is holding in.
Yeah,
Terry McLaurin is holding in, I believe. Man, I just, I don't know why teams don't want to pay their guys, man. Like, I don't understand it. If you're the Bengals, like, they've been notoriously cheap. that, you know, everybody's talking about how they went out of character paying Jamar and T. We knew they were going to play Jamar. T was up in the air. If I was T. Higgins, I would have left, but he didn't. You know, they paid Joe Burrow. Like, you got to pay guys, man. Like, you're not going to win in this league if you don't pay guys and if you're not willing to pay guys. So I don't understand what Washington's doing. I don't understand what Cincy's doing. But again, I'm here for the show. I'll eat my popcorn. I'll sit back and I'll watch these teams implode. And I'll leave it at that.
Yep. They either let the guys walk, lose them, or like it have to trade them away and get worse as a team, right, or just lose out on extra money in the salary cap for waiting too long. So
I don't understand it. I do not understand it. Last Thursday, that was the first football game we had this preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Hall of Fame game. Did you watch any of it?
I saw a couple clips. That's where I was working the hot ones.
I watched a little bit of it. I mean, Trey Lance was a starter. Kyle Allen was a starter for Detroit. No starters actually played.
Right.
So I mean, it was bad football. But
I saw Trey Lance throw a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great game against the fourth and fifth stringers. You know, like,
I've seen him have terrible, like, god awful games against fourth and fifth.
So it's funny because, yeah, I mean, I can't take stock in this because, like, Trey Lance is doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Like, really, in Thursday's game, Trey Lance was the best player on the field.
Yeah.
You know, so he's doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Again, like I said, it was the Hall of Fame game. Hall of Fame happened. Sterling Sharp's not a Hall of Famer. Jared Allen's a Hall of Famer. I'm blanking on who else made it. But I don't even want to get into that. I want to talk about the prospective list for 2026.
Yes, I have it pulled up.
You have it pulled up right now? Do you want to go ahead and read off the list, man? Go ahead and read off the list.
I'm going to read it, and then you just tell me if you think. What do I have to do if they're like a first ballot? You just think they're a Hall of Famer in general.
Got it.
All right, so Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Drew Brees.
Yes.
Phillip Rivers.
Yes.
Jason Witten. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll say yes.
Frank Gore.
He's third all time in NFL rushing yards. My friend made the argument today. That's just because he played forever. Oh god,
that's a ability in itself. One,
So Frank Gore's Hall of Famer to you?
Yeah, and two, I think especially in football, like him, he didn't like really much win anything, but he's only a running back. How much? What can he really?
He played in one Super Bowl. I gotta look at what else he did. Did he ever make an all-pro team?
Let's see. No, not Frank Grillo.
Like, did Frank Gore ever make an all-pro team?
Frank Gore, his career highlights. Second team all-pro, five-time Pro Bowl, NFL 2010s all-decade team.
Is Frank Gore a Hall of Famer? See, because I'm struggling with him because I'm also struggling with
16,000 yards.
Yeah, he's third. Yeah, because I'm also struggling with another name on that list. My favorite player growing up, LeSean McCoy. I'm struggling with him too. I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm tempted to say yes, that LeSean McCoy at least had two all-pro seasons. Dang, it's Frank. You know what? Do I think Frank Gore is a Hall of Famer? Like, no, but do I think he's going to get in? Yes.
Okay. Julian Edelman.
No, absolutely not.
I don't think so either. Marquise Pouncey.
Which one? Was he the one on the Steelers? I was struggling with that earlier because him and his brother are eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Let's see. Yes.
He was the one on the Steelers. How many All-Pro teams did he make?
He made two-time first-team All-Pro, three-time second-team All-Pro, nine-time Pro Bowler.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I guess you got to give it to him, right?
Yeah. wasn't on the Super Bowl team, though.
He wasn't?
No,
I think he came in. I think they came in like right after that.
Yeah, he got drafted in 2010.
Yeah. Oh, literally right after that.
Next year, go back to the list. LeSean McCoy, already talked about it. Sorry, but you didn't give your answer.
I would argue yes, but I would understand if he'd like if folks would say no.
Mm-hmm.
Like to me, because to me, like he, like LeSean McCoy was one of the best running backs in the 2010s. Like that's a fact, right?
Yeah,
he had two All-Pro seasons. I mean, LeSean McCoy was that guy. I mean, I'm willing to bet if he finishes his career with us in Philly, there's no doubt about it. He's a like first ballot Hall of Famer. But he got shipped out to Buffalo, which he had a good run in Buffalo. But then after that, everything kind of fell off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has two Super Bowl rings. Granted, not as a key contributor, but
right.
Yeah, I'll be a little biased. I'm going to give it to him, man. Oh, I'm going to give it to him. Yeah.
As much as I hated LeSean McCoy, the Eagle, as much as I despise LeSean McCoy, the color or the analyst, I'd say, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Thomas Davis.
I don't even know, because he wasn't even, like, he was playing second fiddle to Luke Kuechly.
Yeah.
You know, like, what, did he make any All-Pro teams?
First team All-Pro.
Once?
The 2015 team.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Like, he was like a very good linebacker at times, but
mm-hmm.
Hey, I don't think so.
Greg Olsen.
You talked about this before. I'm still saying no.
I think he is.
I thought about that immediately.
Alex. Oh.
Now I was just gonna say, if y'all don't remember, like, one of our first episodes, me and Linda argued about that. I still don't think Greg Olsen's a Hall of Famer.
Alex Smith.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, no. Dez Bryant.
It's a no for me, dog. Respectfully. Dez Bryant was a very good receiver, but not long enough.
That's a yes for me. He was...
But he didn't even put... Did he put up a 10,000 receiving yards for his career?
His career, he has...
How many years did he even play?
7,500 yards.
Oh, come on, man. Like,
he played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, those last two don't really count, like 8 years.
But you're right. Come on, man. 7,500. Like, Lando, I can't, bro. I'm sorry. I can't.
16 touchdowns, 13 touchdowns.
How many touchdowns total?
75.
See, that's impressive. Megatron has 83 career touchdowns. That's impressive.
Then those years, Megatron was the only receiver that was better than him.
I don't know about that, Chief.
2013, 2014, like...
I need to... You gonna make me look this up. NFL receiving yards. You said in
2013?
2014. NFL receiving yards leader 2013. 2014?
Yeah.
2014. I'm looking this up, folks. I'm looking this up. Like, hold on. Julio Jones?
No.
Hold on. Are you saying Dez Bryant was better than Julio Jones?
Not in his whole career, no.
Wait, what? In what?
In Dez Bryant's prime, when they were playing at the same time,
telling me
he was the better receiver. Julio had a better career and was the better overall receiver, but absolutely.
In 2014, you're telling me Dez Bryant was a better receiver than Julio Jones?
Yes.
That is... Wow, hold on. In 2014... Is this 2014? Okay, in 2014, Antonio Brown... Dez Bryant was not a better receiver than Antonio Brown because he was the receiving yards leader. He put up 1,600 yards. Almost put up 1,700.
Dez had... He had less yards, but more touchdowns.
Dez Bryant is... Yeah, he had 16 touchdowns. Antonio Brown had 13. Julio Jones.
He had 1,500 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Dez had 10 more touchdowns than he did.
Okay, but like, bro, I'm sorry. I don't think in any year Dez Bryant was better.
You cannot say somebody who has 10 more touchdowns. Some people don't even have 10 touchdowns the entire year.
But that's
Julio
just
Julio didn't even have 10 touchdowns that year.
Okay. That can be, there can be a multitude of factors for that, though. Like, offense, play calling, scheming guys open. I'm not faulting Dez Bryant for any of that. I'm just saying, in no way, shape, or form would I ever say that Dez Bryant was a better receiver in any season than Julio Jones.
And that's why my problem with people's eye test. Your eye test can tell you that. Dude. But if one guy is scoring 16, that's a touchdown a game.
Let me ask something. Was Dez Bryant a better receiver than Antonio Brown?
No, I guess no, not that year. He had the yards, then like the touchdowns, the 3 more touchdowns didn't make up.
Most yards Dez Bryant ever put up in a season?
He had 1,400.
That's the highest he ever put up?
Yeah. So Antonio had 8. So I'd say that was equal. He had 1,800 yards to Dez's 14, but Dez had 16 touchdowns to his 13.
Okay, but like, okay, touchdowns must be a huge factor for you.
Touchdowns are better than yards.
I think Julio demanded a lot more attention than, not maybe not like a whole lot more, but like more attention than Dez Bryant required.
No.
You're tripping, man.
I have footage of Dez Bryant being double teamed on the line of scrimmage.
You don't think that happened to Julio probably like 10 times a game?
No.
You don't think Julio Jones got double covered majority of the games?
No, I'm not talking about just double covered. I'm talking about like on the line, two people like, man. This is like basketball box. This is like trying to force ice him out.
I hear you. I'm sorry. I cannot in good faith say that even for a season, Dez Bryant was a better receiver than Julio Jones.
And everything disagrees with that. Because Julio had how many yards that season?
1,593.
100 more yards and 10 less touchdowns.
Bro, I cannot. I don't even, to be honest, it's not even about the touchdowns for me. I just know Julio was always the better player.
But that's not true. Like, what is him being the...
So,
in 2014, what is him... Like, what agrees with him being the better player?
Hold on. How many... Let me see. How many... Julio had 104. How many receptions did Dez have? 88? How many yards per game? Julio averaged 106 yards per game. Dez averaged 82.
Okay.
That doesn't mean anything to you?
Not as much as that's not the 20 yards a game is not as much as a touchdown.
Bro, I'm sorry. I can't put as much stock in the touchdowns.
20 yards? You can't put stock in touchdowns.
No, but extra
20 yards.
I can, but not that not enough to say Dez Bryant was the better receiver.
How? How in the world does a touchdown not equate to more production than 20?
So let me ask something. If Dez had, he had what, 1,400 yards?
Yes.
If Dez only had 700 yards and 10 touchdowns, would you still be making that argument?
No. 700 yards and 10 touchdowns is not, that's what I'm saying. The yardage disparity is not even, that's what I said. With Antonio Brown, it's even more equal because the differences are more. He has way more yards, but Dez has and more touchdowns. Julio barely has more yards than him.
I am not saying Dez Bryant was not a very good receiver that year. And for majority of his career, he was a very good receiver. Top 15, top 10.
I don't even care about that. How was that season not a better season?
Because I cannot. I don't care. I cannot sit here and be like Dez Bryant 2014, Dez was better than Julio. Because Julio was literally the best receiver on the planet.
He wasn't. No, he wasn't even the second best.
Him and Antonio Brown were the best receivers on the planet.
No.
Yes, he was.
Lando, you're not going to sit here and tell me Antonio Brown and Julio Jones were not the best receivers.
In 2014, they were not. Antonio Brown was, Dez Bryant was. Nobody, you cannot be better than somebody in a season if that person had 10 more touchdowns than you did.
I'm sorry, bro. I can't get with you on this.
I don't understand what you're saying isn't like, it doesn't even make sense. Cause like how can you just say I don't put stock in the touchdowns?
It's not that I don't put stock in the touchdowns, but like when it comes to this, it's not enough. Like it's not enough.
What? That's what I'm saying. So what did Julio do that made him a better receiver? You're saying his 20 extra yards a game. That's enough.
Julio Jones.
Do you understand how much how many touchdowns 10 is?
Dez had 10?
He had 10 more.
Okay. He had 16. Okay.
To Julio 6.
Bro, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I will take Julio Jones every day and twice on Sunday.
And you'll lose because
I won't lose.
How? Because when he gets 15, Dez will have 1,400 and then 10 touchdowns. So you're getting dang near the exact same production yardage wise.
I can't do
in
that.
A chasm of a drop-off.
So let me ask something. Why is Dez Bryant a Hall of Famer?
Because
he put up 7,500 total yards.
Yeah.
And 75 touchdowns. So why is he a Hall of Famer?
Because of the 75 touchdowns.
That's not enough.
It is. That's not just, people don't just do that. So if 75 touchdowns be the lowest of the Hall of Fame players?
No, probably not.
Is 7,500 yards going to be the lowest of the Hall of Fame players?
Receiving wise, it might be. It might be up there.
I guarantee.
I said it might be up there, not the lowest, but it might be up there. He's going to. I mean, you might not be able to find a cumulative list like that, though. I don't see it, man. I don't see it. Dez Bryant had. Let me see. How many good years would we say? Oh, the NFL just hired a new interim executive director of the Players Association. We'll see how that goes. Yeah. Are you gonna, I don't think you're going to be able to find a cumulative list like you want right now. I don't think you're going to be able to find one. But let me see, man. Dez Bryant had 3 seasons in which he put up over 1,000 yards. 3. Yeah, dude, I don't. Nah, I'm sorry. He's not a Hall of Famer for me, bro.
I'll give you another Cowboys running or wide receiver, Drew Pearson.
What did he put? What was his career number?
And I know they're
but
nowhere
he helped
near.
Win Super Bowls though.
But this is like the individual. Like, that definitely helps him. But like
that definitely helps him. He has like,
individual. He has 7,800 yards and 48 touchdowns.
How many rings he got?
He won one. He won two of them.
Okay, that
is, no, he only won one.
Really?
Drew Pearson only won one of the rings.
That definitely boosted him though. And didn't he make plays in the Super Bowl?
No, he was the first 88.
I'm sorry.
Freakish Charlie Joyner. Let's see what his some. This is just a random receiver in the Hall of Fame.
I'm sorry. Dez Bryant is not a Hall of Famer for me, bro. Yeah, he was a very good receiver at times. Had 3,000 yard seasons.
Oh, this dude played for a long time.
Yeah, look.
And he got drafted in 1969, played until 1986, almost had a 20-year career.
How many yards he put up?
He only had 65 touchdowns.
How many yards did he put up?
12,000.
He only had 65 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
That's yeah. Why I... It's not even
I
so much
saying...
I don't
just,
think he's a Hulk first ballot. I wouldn't even be upset if he didn't get in.
I just don't think...
But in 2014... He was a better receiver than Julio Jones.
I cannot agree with that. But I hear you. I can't agree with that. Keep going down the list, bro. I don't see it, man.
Steven Gostkowski.
Gostkowski, yeah. He.
How many Super Bowls did he win with the Patriots?
Probably at least 3 or 4.
Because I don't think he was. He definitely wasn't a better kicker than Adam Vinatieri.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with Steven Gostkowski's.
He won 3 of the Super Bowls. First team All Pro twice. Second team All Pro once.
Oh,
let's see.
I mean, maybe. I guess. I don't
I
have
mean,
enough.
The kicker.
Yeah. I guess.
I mean, he probably has game winners.
I mean, sure. Who did y'all have? What was y'all's kicker's name? Dan
Bailey.
Yeah. I mean, he'll probably get in, right?
Basically, because like he had a small, had he not had his like small drop off, like statistically, he would have been the most accurate kicker of all time.
Like he'll probably get in. So I guess, yeah, sure. Steven Gostkowski, go ahead.
Geno Atkins.
No. And I looked up his numbers. He has, I think, 75 career sacks.
75 and a half.
Yeah. I think
first,
he made the
first team All Pro.
5-time?
Yeah.
He's a 5-time first team All-Pro?
2011, 2012, 2015, 2016,
2017. Wow, hold on. Dang, see, but it's like, because another name on that list, Jarrell Casey, he had like 50 and a half career sacks. I know he didn't make the All-Pro team like Geno Atkins did. Wow, I think I missed that part. Geno Atkins is a 5-time first team All-Pro?
Mm-hmm. And those he had 12 and a half sacks one season, 11, 9.
Yeah, he only had like,
10.
He had like what, three double digit sack seasons?
Yeah, and then 2 with 9. So right there.
Geno Atkins, 5-time first team All Pros, impressive. You know what? He'll probably get in as a second ballot. He'll probably get in as a second ballot. Would I put him in as a second ballot? I'd put him in over Jarrell Casey. Yeah, I'd put him in over Jarrell Casey. So, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Then we got Mike Pouncey, the brother.
He played for Miami. It was his career, right?
Yeah. He was a center.
How many?
No all pros, 4-time Pro Bowl. So.
No.
Yeah. feel like they just didn't want to leave him out because his brother.
It's just like some of these names, like, and we'll get into it when we finish the list. Like, they just shouldn't even be eligible.
Jarrell Casey.
No.
Yeah, no.
No. He's a really good player at times in Tennessee, but no.
Todd Gurley.
Absolutely not. In what world is Todd Gurley? Why are we even talking about this?
Let's see. Pull up the numbers.
And I'll say this right now. If Todd Gurley's knees hold up, he's one of the best running backs right now.
Yeah.
His knees can hold up.
One-time offensive player of the year. Offensive rookie of the year. Two-time first-team All-Pro. One-time second-team. He just
could not stay healthy.
But, yeah.
He just could not stay healthy. No, rushing dude.
Twice, but his career numbers are...
Like, what's his career rushing yards?
I was about to say, yeah.
Like, what? 4,000?
6,000.
Come on, man.
And he has 67 touchdowns.
Come on. Like, bro. Todd Gurley was on a Hall of Fame trajectory.
Yeah, for
sure. Unfortunately, his knees just cut out.
I think...
Like, he shouldn't even, but he should not even be, like, no one in their right mind should say, yeah, we're gonna put out the list, Todd Gurley's on there. Like, what?
Yeah, no, I agree. He should not be. I think, yeah, injuries definitely are the reason.
Julian Edelman, like,
he just, it wasn't good enough. I think Todd Gurley,
he wasn't, but he just had, like, he had moments in the Super Bowl. Like, yeah. That's it. Like, if you look up Julian Edelman's career numbers, like, what is it? Like,
it's there.
You could probably make more of a. I mean,
he was a slot, like, gadget guy. I'm
asking myself, you could probably make a better argument for Dez Bryant than Julian Edelman.
He has 620 catches, 6,822 yards, 36 touchdowns.
Bro, come on, dog.
Yeah.
No, but bro.
He's a 3-time Super Bowl champion. And he got the Super Bowl.
Man. No.
But that's why I think that, like, they
got to stiffen up, man.
There's
not a set parameter.
Yeah.
There's not a set parameter. Like,
some guys are getting in on team success. Some guys are getting in on individual.
Like, you gotta be the best of the best.
And then just to round out the list, Sean Lee, I do not think so. But
you don't? No, I don't think so either. He would have been.
Yeah, I think same with Todd Gurley. He was good enough when he got to play, but right. He just wasn't. Injuries where he was a one-time.
Exactly.
First-team All-Pro, two-time Pro Bowler, and that's just about it.
Yeah.
Dang, it said he played for 10 years, but it...
How many games? How many seasons did he play in double-digit games?
10 years, but he only played in...
In double-digit games. How many? Probably one.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
I'm surprised it was even that.
But because he had one complete season he didn't play complete injury. One game with six seasons, or one season with six games, one season with five games, one season with he played in nine but only started two his last season.
Right. Like, dude, we're going to mess around and see freaking Leighton Vander Esch on this list in a few years.
Well, no, he was never even.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Todd Gurley?
But Todd Gurley was amazing when he got Leighton Vander Esch guy. Like, he was good for 1 year. I get what you're saying.
The best ability is availability. Yeah. And Todd Gurley lacked that. I'm sorry.
Definitely.
No disrespect. He lacked it.
Yeah. But
it's just crazy. Some of the guys on that list, man.
That's the list. Yeah. But it's like we said,
there's no set parameters.
There's not really. They have their stipulations, I guess, that they know, but yeah, it's not.
No, they, yeah.
It looks like there's no, like, consistency in who's making it in and out.
Right, right. Yeah, we'll see, man. Hall of Fame's making me sick. Basketball, too. Like, I'm sorry. Tracy McGrady's not a Hall of Famer to me, but I'm a down that hill. It is what it is.
I think that's insane.
I don't think Tracy McGrady's a Hall of Famer.
What?
I don't think Vince Carter's Hall of Famer either. Tracy McGrady literally never won a playoff series.
I don't care.
Oh.
He's one of the greatest
scorers. Like, And I'm not going to say that's empty stats, but like, he could not get out of the first round. You're that prolific as a scorer. They're rivaling you against Kobe in his prime, and you can't get out of the first round once?
I mean, it'd be different if he was having terrible performances in those playoff games. He was still being Tracy McGrady.
I know.
It just wasn't.
We've seen lesser guys, though, lead their teams out of the first round.
Which is why I think that it should be irrelevant that he couldn't. Because
So posting success,
a better, if he's clearly a better player than this guy who did have like the
success. So how much does postseason success weigh to you then?
Almost none.
Really?
In terms of like being an individual, like that's like my whole the entire argument right now surrounding this Jalen Hurts and Cam Newton debate.
Yeah, which
we are discussing two individuals. And what they are able to do on the field, on the court, team success is honestly like the last thing on the list. If I'm playing basketball and I can score,
yes,
pass, dribble, shoot, do everything better than you,
mm-hmm,
the fact that you're on the better team, who can, does not mean you're a better player than me.
I would agree with you when it comes to the all-star voting. Like for the NBA All-Star, like Pro Bowl, all that, right? Because, like, I feel like those should be very individual. Like, it's not my fault that I'm dropping 30, like an efficient 30, right? Because you got to look at the efficiency and, you know, the advanced stats. If I'm dropping an efficient 30 and like four, like, I'm doing what I need to do to help my team win and we're just not winning, it's not my fault. I still deserve to be recognized for that in an All-Star game, whatever, right? When it comes to the Hall of Fame, though, I gotta look at the postseason, man.
But I think that's the same thing. Like the players who are getting all-star votes consistently or every night, they're gonna be the same people that are Hall of Famers.
Yeah, but
because like it's the same like,
well,
I think in the same sense, like if I'm out there putting up an efficient 30,
yeah,
and doing that, it's not my fault that we can't win a playoff game.
Yeah. I Tracy McGrady,
it's the same way. I'm not getting into this whole debate, but Michael Jordan was 1-9 in his first 10 playoff
games. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And at that point in his, you're not, yes, going to say he's not still the best player in the NBA.
No.
You literally called him God, and like, because at the end of the day, the team can, your team can be better than my team, but yes, I can be a better player than you are.
Yes. Is Tracy McGrady a Hall of Fame talent? Yeah, I just, for me, man.
And even with basketball, it's not even just the NBA. It's like, well,
it's not just the
NBA. Well, he came straight from high school, so right, he doesn't even have like the college.
Right, right. But I mean, did he play on the Olympic teams? I think he did, yeah.
I don't think he has any gold medals.
Oh, well then, yeah.
Why not? I wonder.
Let me, yeah, find out. Is Tracy McGrady a Hall of Fame talent? 1,000%.
He probably played in 04.
1,000%. But I'm sorry, man. You can't get out of the playoff. You can't get out of the first round of the playoffs.
Well, actually, no. He never played on.
He don't even have any Olympic. Like he has no hard
work whatsoever. He played in the FIBA Americans Championship.
Come on, man.
I wonder why. I'm going to look that up later.
Carmelo to me is a Hall of Famer. Vince Carter, I said he's not a Hall of Famer to me. I care about postseason success, man. Obviously more than you do.
Carmelo doesn't have much
puzzle. Carmelo at least made it to the conference finals.
Once.
He made it.
Yeah.
He made it.
There are, I mean, Trace McGrady's kind of standing alone with zero playoff points.
Exactly my point. Like lesser guys have done more. Like, I just have made deeper runs, excuse me. But like prolific score. I'm not arguing that. Trace McGrady, Hall of Fame talent, 1,000%. He's in the Hall of Fame now, right? Yeah, right. Yeah. I think he's in. Yeah. I mean, whatever. Like it is what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'm not gonna cry over spilled milk, but like no, man, I don't think him. I don't think his cousin Vince is a Hall of Famer.
Hmm.
I feel like after he left Toronto, like everything just kinda, and I don't appreciate the way he left Toronto, honestly. Like if Kawhi Leonard had went on a plateau like Vince Carter did after he left San Antonio, there's no question. Like there's no way we're even talking about him and the brother we're talking about him now.
Yeah, his for sure his career after Toronto.
Yeah, man, it was just
journeyman.
Yeah, like, yeah.
He had a decent run
in New Jersey, but yeah, he was not the same player
for sure.
He was not the same player at all. Yeah, man, that's the Hall of Fame, man. It's.
I would agree, Vince is, and I'm looking at his.
He's I know
he's All Star. Never was all first team All NBA.
No,
he was all second team 1 year, all third team another year.
Like he would
Rookie of the Year.
They were talking about Vince, like it's Vince or Kobe, like. Vince was supposed to be the next Jordan. That's what they were, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what they were marketing him as, and that was the whole thing. But, no, he went out of Toronto, and everything happened, you know?
Trying to see what his I mean, his best year he averaged 27.
Yeah.
That was his one of his, that
in Toronto, third, right?
Yeah, yep. Toronto. He averaged another 27 his first year in New Jersey.
Did he? I was about to say, did he average?
And then he averaged a 25 in New Jersey. So he had a couple good
years. He had, yeah, it just like you saw it though, man. Toronto like you watched it and you just knew like he's not. I mean, he could still score, but it just, nah, man.
And then you would think just him being Vince Carter, he'd have like a couple slam dunk champions. He only won one.
Yeah. Yeah. Iconic dunker, best dunker of all time.
I wouldn't be obviously surprised if he did get in, but
he's gonna get in
because it's so it's kind of he's gonna I don't get in. Say easy, obviously, but
he's gonna get in
when you're an all time great. But I he's think gonna that, get. Yeah.
Does he have a championship from UNC? Did he win one?
And let's see.
I don't remember if he won one.
I don't think so.
But he's. I mean, he's gonna get in. They're not gonna. The NBA basketball is not gonna do Vince Carter dirty like that. He's gonna get it in.
He was there from 95 to 98.
Oh, he might have a ring.
Wow, how many rings do you think North Carolina has?
In total?
Yeah.
I would say at least. Jordan won one. Is it? I'm gonna say five.
It's six.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know why. I just thought they would be like a lot, but
no. Yeah. I remember like UNC like they win, but they've won very spaced out. Yeah. Did Vince win one?
No.
No. Yeah. Okay.
Because he was there from 95 to 98.
Yeah.
Yeah. They won one in 93, and then 05 was the next one.
Yeah. Man, that's the Hall of Fame, bro.
Yeah,
that's the Hall of Fame. They're just they pick and choose, and they make exceptions for who they make exceptions for. It is what it is. There's no clear parameters for any sport. It is what it is. But staying on basketball, Lakers fan here. We saw the news yesterday. Luka Doncic got his contract, not the contract he wanted, or he was planning to sign. Right. Obviously, 3 years, $165 million. And let me just say this, because we spoke about it before recording. For any of you clowns that don't understand the context of when I say the Dallas Mavericks are going to catch hell from Luka for the next decade, what I mean by that is he is going to routinely try to drop 60 on their heads every chance he gets. Why? Because he used to play for the Mavericks. Why? Because the Mavericks traded him when he thought he had just bought a house there. He thought he was going to be there his entire career, right? And the man who traded him is Nico Harrison, who still works where? In Dallas.
Yeah. And they cost him
like over $150 million.
Right.
So if you don't think Luka Doncic is going to have some residual resentment.
Definitely.
If you cost me $100, I'm feeling away.
Well, I mean, we see like players like try to kill their former team all the time.
Yes, come on, man. So yeah, Dallas is gonna catch hell every chance Luka can give it to him.
Yeah.
But your thoughts, Lakers secured their future.
Yeah.
Like, are you even gonna be like a Lakers fan once LeBron retires?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Because which I've said it. Well, my whole plan for after LeBron retired was to become a Luka fan.
Okay. So this is working out perfect.
Yeah, it worked. It's insane. So yeah, we will be with the Lakers for at least the next 3 years. I'm excited for that. Hopefully they can build for the now while also. Because they, like I said in the last episode, they're so adamant about securing the future. When,
well, they did it now. So
you have a top three player, I think, in the NBA. I think that maximizing those 3 years, because I think LeBron will play in at least one of them, most likely two.
Yeah, yeah.
Three at the.
I don't think he plays. Oh my God, he'd be what, 43, 44.
Yeah, he turns, yeah, because he's 40 right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's more. Come on, man.
I mean, they've said it every year since he's turned 35. But it's just like, that's what I'm saying. These 3 years,
yeah,
the potential can be maximized. It's kind of just up to the front office, but
yep,
definitely excited.
New front office in place.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely excited. He got his contract and happy for him. He got as much money as he could have based off the situation. Nico, but
did him dirty, dog.
It is what it is. Thank you. Sorry for Luka's money. Sorry for his pockets.
Yeah.
Thankful for my fandom. just and let's just hope the front office can do what they need to do.
Right.
They got a couple more contracts coming up soon. Austin Reeves.
Do that, Austin? Is he? Because he just signed last year, didn't he?
I
think he signed last year.
Because he's been in.
He signed like a 4-year, $60 million deal, I think.
They were. He's been
in 3 years or something.
They were saying we need to, like, if we're going to extend him or trade him, basically, because he's just on his trajectory, and it's like we might want to get in front of it.
Right. I think they just need to make a decision on whether they think he's going to be a staple piece.
Right.
You know, for the now and for the future, or if you feel like you can go get somebody better, package him with something else, and I guess you go do it.
DeAndre Ayton's on the last year, his deal.
Right.
So.
Right.
They got some stuff coming up, but
yeah.
This off season, they address the biggest issue, obviously. Actually, I would say the two biggest issues.
Big man and what else?
Extending Luka.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought that was going to happen. I never thought Luka was going to, like, leave the Lakers after one. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I thought that was going to happen. So I wasn't worried about that, truth be told.
Yeah, it's just you never know. It wasn't where he chose to go. And if you give him an option, like, oh, I can go anywhere, who knows. But
right.
He, like you said, he decided to stay. So happy for everybody around and happy to see where it goes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, before we get on out of here, let's talk about another team in California. The Golden State Warriors, they're kind of in a standstill right now with their restricted free agent, Jonathan Kuminga. The word on the street is Jonathan Kuminga wants to leave. He wants to go to Sacramento. Sacramento's offered him a lucrative contract, like a 4-year deal, I believe. They've guaranteed him a starting spot. And they've made offers to Golden State, and the Warriors have rebuffed them. I saw one of the offers, I think it was Malik Monk in a first rounder. They said no. Another team that's interested in Jonathan Kuminga is the Phoenix Suns. I don't like that for Kuminga, honestly.
Yeah.
If I'm the Warriors, like, because if he stays and, you know, he signs the qualifying offer, it's going to be like 1 year, $9-10 million.
Yeah.
Right? Here's the thing. Like, how much do you fight for a disgruntled player that you know doesn't want to be there?
What's the point?
You know what I'm saying?
Move on, everybody. You gain something while you can in the trade.
Right.
Make him happy. Make the other, like, and then.
I mean, it ain't even about making him happy because they don't want to make him happy.
But it's like by not making him happy, you're hurting yourself.
Right.
And it's like everybody could at least gain a little bit of something. And
right.
I don't understand.
If I'm going to State, I would try to go get a Zach LaVine, but I would settle for a DeMar.
Yeah.
I would try to go get Zach LaVine, but I would settle for a DeMar. I mean, if you give me DeMar in a first, maybe two firsts, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd probably pull the trigger on that deal. Because, the Warriors' real hole is that big man. But, we don't know what the Kings are doing, right? They're kind of all over the place. But, if they're fully hitting the reset button, I guess if you want to, unload Sabonis.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Definitely.
I'm not doing that, but I'm not the Kings. The Kings, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what their plan is. But Jonathan Kuminga, man, he's been at a standstill all summer. Free agency is kind of coming on, and he's just
in limbo.
Yes. Yes. Sean Sharania, he said he spoke to him, and he wants to go to Sacramento. He's spoken on Zoom calls with Sacramento. Like, he wants to go to Sacramento, and Golden State is saying no. So I kind of feel bad for him. I believe in Jonathan Kuminga as a player. Him and Steve Kerr, I don't know what the disconnect was, bro, because I really thought when they drafted him, it was going to be like, okay, like, this guy is going to be the bridge. He will take over as the best player once Steph retires.
Right.
And they just did not – the development plan did not work, or I don't know what it was, man. I don't know what Steve Kerr's issues with him were. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that they meshed well. Yeah. Obviously, like, just based on looking at the situation, I think that, like you said, that Steve Kerr just couldn't really find the right fit for him, because he, like with Sacramento, they plan on him coming in to, like you said, they guaranteed him a starting role, a lucrative contract. They see him as that player, and Steve Kerr has him coming off the bench. Steve Kerr has him just not being utilized like that. So,
right,
like I said, it'd be in his best interest. The Golden State isn't really much interested in what's in his best interest, but just from coming from a player standpoint, him getting out of that situation is what's best for him. They just got to figure something out, because even with Golden State, I feel like having a player with that type of potential not be is almost like hurting your team as well.
Yeah.
Because like, it's like you got this gym being used in the wrong way, taken away from people that you could be using correctly if you could use him the right way. It's just like,
because if I'm Golden State, honestly, my starting five would be Steph, Jimmy, John Lekaminga, Draymond. And then maybe if they can go get Al Horford.
Oh, that's a big lineup.
Yeah, yeah. But that would be my starting five.
Yeah.
And I'd be okay with that. I'd be A-okay with that. But, I don't know. I don't know. Hopefully Jonathan Kuminga, his representation, can figure something out. Because you hate to see it.
Definitely.
You hate to see it. Well, on that note, that is a wrap on this episode of Birds of the Rodeo. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
Thank you for checking us out. Please like, comment, subscribe.
If this is your first time watching, leave us a comment. Let us know.
Yes.
Tell us what you liked or what you didn't like. What
you disagree with.
Agreed with.
What you agree with.
We want to know everything.
Right. Who you think is a Hall of Famer? Is Dez Bryant a Hall of Famer to you? He's not to me.
Whether he is or not, he was a better receiver in 2014 than Julio Jones.
Strongly disagree with that. But hey, on that note, we'll catch y'all next time. Peace.
Later.